Minister, how concerning are the latest cases, and can you comment a bit about the trends of these youths getting younger and younger?
Very concerning. I think in the past 2 months, two more self-radicalized young people under 21 have been dealt with under the Internal Security Act. The first is a 15-year-old student, female. She was issued with a restriction order in February. She is, in fact, the first female under 21 who has been dealt with under the ISA. She became a supporter of ISIS, you know, just a few weeks after she was exposed to their material online. And then she went to pledge allegiance to an ISIS chatbot. Now, she did that virtually. And she wanted to marry an ISIS fighter in Syria, raise a pro-ISIS family. She engaged in relationships online with foreign ISIS supporters. And she was also planning, you know, making serious plans to go to Syria. She wanted to fight and die for ISIS. She looked up flights to go to Syria. She thought of how she's going to save money to plan for her travels. So looking at it, ISD decided, you know, the way she was supporting ISIS, the willingness to go and fight and die, engage in violence, there were security concerns. And so an RO was issued. We'll have to monitor the case very carefully. Then there was a second case, 17-year-old boy. He was detained in March. First case, the young lady was a restriction order. This young man, boy, we have detained him. He is the fourth young person under 21, and he was detained now for far-right extremism. He was in contact with Nick Lee. You know, he was, some of you may recall, 18-year-old far-right extremist. We detained him in December last year. This young man, Nick Lee's contact, he believed that Malays and Muslims had to be killed to prevent or control their population growth. And he really was an East Asian supremacist. So East Asian people higher, you got to keep the Muslims and Malays down. So like the other three far-right young boys, this young man also looked up to Brenton Tarrant as his idol. Brenton Tarrant, as you would know, was a man who killed lots of Muslims in a church in Christchurch. Mosque in Christchurch. In fact, this young man whom we detained modeled himself after the Christchurch mosque shootings and identified five mosques as targets. Of these five, he focused on Masjid Maruf, Maruf Mosque, where I am today here. I'm speaking with you from the mosque. This boy wanted to kill at least 100 Muslims so that he can kill more Muslims than Tarrant had killed. He also wanted to live stream his attacks. When he was arrested, when ISD moved in, he had already made a number of attempts to get a gun. He went online to try and purchase guns. He also tried going to Malaysia and Thailand to buy guns. And he told ISD quite openly, as if he had gotten a gun, he would have carried out his attacks. So concerning, because in both these cases, they were already showing signs of radicalization. They were searching for materials online, you know, and consuming very radical material. They were sharing their extremist views with their family members and friends. So really, we have to ask friends, families of people to alert us. You know, when you see someone consuming material which is radicals going online, talking to you in very radical terms, it's good to tell Ministry of Home Affairs. We will investigate. We can guide them. And really, we are here to help them in many ways. You know, we stop them from harming themselves and others. They receive help. And we are actually able to rehabilitate them in many cases. And then they can go back to their previous lives. I'll give you the example of that Indian boy who was a Christian, a Protestant. He was, in fact, the first far-right extremist arrested. He wanted to go to a mosque and kill Muslims as well. He was doing badly in school. After he was detained, he was counseled. A Christian pastor talked to him regularly, shared what Christianity was really about. ISD helped him to study, and he passed his O-levels 2 years ago. And he can look forward to a life rehabilitated as opposed to, getting himself killed in some venture.
Minister, should the Malay Muslim community be at all worried given that there is an actual threat to the mosque in Singapore?
There have been a number of threats to mosques in Singapore. As I said, we have arrested four far-right extremists with those tendencies. We have also arrested a number who wanted to go off to Syria or Iraq and fight there. I think we all need to be worried because, you know, if Muslims get attacked, it's bad for the Muslim community, but it's bad for Singapore because we are one community. And most of us, thankfully, don't see each other, oh, that's a Muslim community getting killed or that's a Christians getting killed because, you know, those who are looking up ISIS and wanted to support ISIS decided if they can't go there, they will kill some Jews or Christians in Singapore. So all of this is bad, and I think most people will agree. We all need to be alert. We all need to be thankful that ISD has intervened so far every single time successfully. But as I keep saying, we have to get it right every time. Those who are either on the far right or with tendencies towards extremism on the Islamic side have to only get it right once and they will kill some people. So we need to be very careful.
Minister, could you comment on the scale of influence of Nick Lee and the 17-year-old and 15-year-old, considering they have interacted with other youths? Could there be other radicalized youths out there? And also, your comments to Singaporeans who could be worried about going about their day-to-day lives, considering these cases are becoming more and more are being caught?
Well, I've said the trend is concerning. Several arrested for Islamic radicalism, several arrested for far-right extremism. They are consuming the internet. They are young people. They get caught up with this. And what does it take to go out and do an attack? This young man wanted guns, but actually you can just get a knife, and as some of them wanted to do, and go out. You may not be able to kill 100, but you'll be able to kill one, two. You get into a kindergarten or something, you can kill a few more. And if instead of one person, if it's two or three, they can do more damage. And, you know, it's not easy for the security forces, for ISD, to be keeping track of everything. So I think it is concerning. I would say we are thankfully not in the same situation as many other places where these bad things have already happened. That's thanks to the framework of laws we have, the Internal Security Act, and the way we take a zero-tolerance approach. For us, we don't wait until you're actually about to do something. You're thinking of doing something, you're planning. We think that you've reached a stage of, you know, getting serious about what you want to do. We move in. We have a variety of orders, restriction orders, so you're not detained, or detention order where it's more serious and you need to be taken in. It is concerning. You know, what do I say? Can I say there are no others? I cannot tell you that. And in all likelihood, there probably are others. Even as we speak, they may be consuming online material. They might be planning. They might be doing things. And ISD tries its best to keep track of, people with these sorts of thoughts. But in the large, you know, very significant way, Singapore is largely a peaceful place. Between races, between religions, harmony, we emphasize that. We are integrated in the way we live, in the way we go to schools, in the way we work. And we have to make sure we keep it going. And the beautiful thing about Singapore is that, you can go about your lives peacefully. That's the essence of your question. And we have to try and preserve that way of life.
They did not do anything, or rather, they did not report them to the authorities. So, what's the difficulty in families trying to intervene in this kind of action?
It's a question of judgment. I mean, the families may not realize that how far advanced is the radicalization. They may say, this young man is saying these things, we will just talk to him, he will get out of it. So this is part of public education. We have to educate people that, look, you actually help your children, young people, by reporting. And we will, if they are reported early enough, we can help them earlier. They won't be so radicalized. If you leave it be, bad things can happen to the children. They might go out and kill somebody or be killed. So we'll have to continue with public education on this. Okay, can I move on from this, please? Is it? I can't hear you.
Would you have any comments on the recent back and forth online between...
Maybe you repeat your question, then I can answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just on the religious messaging, would you have any comments on the back and forth that's been going online between Mr. Clement Cheung and Mr. Geoffrey Hong?
I haven't been following it very closely. Mr. Calvin Cheung comments on a variety of matters. I don't see all of them. But those that I come across, I can say some I agree with and some I clearly disagree with. His views on Palestine and Israel, I can say, are quite different from mine. I have a very sharply different view on Israel-Palestine from Mr. Calvin Cheung. Specific to this post that I think you are referring to, there is a police report, and from what I hear, Mr. Cheung has said that he is going to start legal action. So I have to avoid commenting in detail. Mr. Geoffrey says that Mr. Cheung is an Islamophobe. Mr. Cheung disagrees and says that Mr. Geoffrey has falsely accused Mr. Cheung of making a statement that was actually made by someone else. What the facts are, what they really are, I don't know. And as I said, I haven't seen the blow-by-blow responses. But I would suggest it's best to keep to the truth and also be sensitive in making comments on the Israel-Palestine situation. I will leave aside whether Mr. Geoffrey has put out falsehoods. And if he has, then that can be serious. And as I've said earlier, I have very different views from Mr. Cheung on Israel-Palestine. Now, I previously said in November 2023 that Israel's actions are illegal and oppressive to Palestinians. And that remains my view. On the specifics of Mr. Cheung's and Mr. Geoffrey's post, I have said all that I can say, as you know, there is a police report and potential legal action. Thank you.
Is MHA investigating Mr. Geoffrey because he made a police report?
I don't want to go beyond what I've said. Yeah, when police reports are made, there is a normal process, and police will follow the normal process.